Hey, this is Jeff King of the Arizona Cardinals. You're listening to The Clubhouse with Kyle Bailey.
Welcome back to The Clubhouse. We had a very diligent caller, by the way, call in to make sure that I knew what I was talking about, which was great. Evidently, we were talking about the series structure, and I guess I made it sound as if it was 2-3-2, and it's actually 2-2-1-1-1. And I'm glad he called in, because if I gave that impression, that's the wrong way to go about it. But, yeah, we'll come back to that, though, and whoever that was that called, we appreciate it. It's Friday, which means we have Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com in studio with us, and Chris is back. Chris, we got some things to get to, man. How are you?
Doing great. How are you?
Doing well. We'll start with Mark Sagunas, catcher, Virginia Tech Baseball, taken by the Cubs today.
Yeah, taken by the Cubs in the third round. You know, I think a lot of people forgot about Sagunas because he played in a lineup this year where he didn't have very much protection, and that's really tough on a hitter. I know at this time last year people were talking about him being a possible first-round pick this year.
Oh, yeah.
But I've got a buddy who's a big Cubs fan, so he didn't have a lot to cheer about these days, obviously. And I texted him earlier and told him that Sagunas got drafted, and he was like, yeah, I saw that. No, I finally got something to cheer for.
Yeah. I always wondered if size would be an issue, you know, for Sagunas.
As a catcher.
Right.
Yeah. I think Jonathan Lucroy up in Milwaukee isn't particularly big either.
Right.
So, there are some catchers in there that aren't all that big. But, you know, he's also potentially an outfield prospect. He's got some versatility there.
Yeah, he does. And, of course, Craig Biggio wasn't exceptionally large, was he? I mean, that was a guy that also played some other positions. Like, physically in that mold, that's kind of who he reminds me of, just because he's not a big imposing guy.
You prefer a big imposing guy there. You prefer everybody to be 6'4", 260 like Evan Gattis, but that's not going to happen. Ultimately, you want a smart player who can call a good game and who's tough.
Yeah, and I think he's both of those things and certainly can hit. His walk-off in the ACC tournament last year, one of the all-time great walk-offs.
He
really pimped that thing when he knew it was gone. He launched it.
Yeah.
So that's one of the great memories I think that program can have there. All right, so I'm gonna just go ahead and turn you loose on something really quickly. This happened a few days ago. I know you've been talking about it on your website, techsideline.com. Cleland Farrell, Benedictine High School in Richmond, for a long time a lot of folks thought he was heading to Blacksburg. And then at some point things changed. I don't know how recently after that trip to Clemson things changed. Maybe you can share some insight there. But Cleland Farrell committed to the Tigers earlier this week. And Clemson, I don't want to overstate Clemson's influence in the state of Virginia, but at the same time, they've been, you know, shaking things up for a couple of years now. They've come back into the Commonwealth and snagged a big-time talent in Cleland Farrell. And, you know, that's a position of need for Virginia Tech. That along the defensive line, you've had some pretty strong reaction to this, I think.
Yeah, you know, and that's the disappointing part, is that it's an in-state player from Benedictine, which has turned into kind of a pipeline school for Virginia Tech with Nigel Williams, Ramon Miner, Charlie Meyer. So it's disappointing from that standpoint, an in-state kid in a position of need, and a guy that Tech recruited longer than anybody. Tech recruited this guy for 2 or 3 years, and, you know, Clemson comes in and recruits him for a month or two, and he's going to Clemson. But I think we saw this with Deshaun Hand last year also. I think the longer time goes by and the fewer NFL defensive ends come out of Virginia Tech, opposing coaches are using that against Tech and saying, look, if you play in that system, you're not going to be an NFL defensive end. And you know, since 2007, Clemson has had 7 defensive ends drafted. Virginia Tech has had 2 in that same span. So while I know and you know that if you're Cleland Farrell or Josh Sweat or a defensive end with traditional size, this is a great system for them. They could come here and get developed as a defensive end just as well as they could in any other 4-3 system in the country. But when you're a 17-year-old kid and those coaches put that piece of paper in front of you that compares draft picks for defensive ends from Virginia Tech to other schools, then it's going to make a big impact on you. And the longer these recruitments go, you know, like Deshaun Hand was favoring Virginia Tech very early in the process, even midway through the process. But the longer the process went, I think the more he heard that message. Same thing for Cleland Farrell this year. And it's going to be the same way with Josh Sweat. People are going to be coming after him from everywhere, telling him the same message. If you go to Virginia Tech, they don't put defensive ends in the NFL. Not sure how you really combat that, to be honest.
Why doesn't Virginia Tech put defensive ends in the NFL? I mean, if someone asked you that, I mean, what is it? Is it a scheme thing? Why is that?
Well, what comes first, the chicken or the egg?
That's right. Yeah.
You know, I mean, a guy like Nikos Brown, who was a great run stopper, but he never had the size to be an NFL defensive end. I think if Virginia Tech could get more commitments like Cleland Farrell and Deshaun Hand and Josh Sweat, then obviously I think they would put more defensive ends in the NFL. I think one thing that hurt him you know, from a recruiting standpoint, maybe it would have been better for James Gale to leave early for the NFL last year or the year before and been a second or third round pick rather than tearing his labrum as a senior and not getting drafted at all. So it's an interesting thing to think about. Don't get me wrong, I'm glad he came back and played his senior year. But it's one of those chicken-egg arguments.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you have to get some NFL-sized guys to have NFL draft picks, but now you're not going to be able to get those guys because you have the reputation of not putting guys in the NFL.
Chris Coleman, TechSideline.com, here in the McAdoo Studios with us. So as you look ahead the rest of the way in 2015, this will be a defensive-oriented class no matter what happens. What about the in-state folks, the in-state kids left along the defensive line? You already mentioned Josh Sweat. Taylor, I think, is another.
Earl Taylor.
You know, what's the outlook there, I guess, is what I'm trying to ask.
You know, I think it's solid, but are they going to get the same message there? Are they going to have the Cleveland Farrell and Deshaun Hand treatment? The longer their recruitments go, I'll like our chances less because they'll keep hearing that message over and over and over and over and over. I mean, Josh Sweat, I don't know what his timetable is. He hasn't taken any other visits. I know Virginia Tech feels good about their chances with Sweat right now. And I think Virginia Tech's his favorite school right now. I'd bet my house that if he had to make a decision tomorrow, he would pick Virginia Tech. But he hasn't visited any other school.
Right.
He hasn't sat down in front of Butch Jones or Jimbo Fisher or Nick Saban or anybody like that and had them tell him face-to-face, look, Virginia Tech doesn't put defensive ends in the NFL. We do. Here's proof. You know, and it shows him a list of names that's been drafted, defensive ends that have been drafted from all those schools over the last 7 years. So he hasn't quite gotten that treatment yet. He will over the next month when he starts taking visits. I think Tech will be in it with Josh Sweat until the very end. I think they'll be in it with Daryl Taylor to the very end. I think Trevon Hill, who I really like a lot, it's going to come down to Tech and UNC. Fortunately, Virginia Tech is in on enough quality defensive ends in this class that, you know, they're going to take 2 to 3, hopefully, that you know, even if they miss on some, there's enough there. They've thrown out enough offers where I think they're going to sign a good defensive end class. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
It's disappointing because I think Farrell was number two on their board and probably the guy that I thought was more of a lock than anybody. So if Cleveland Farrell's going to Clemson, what else could possibly happen?
That's good. That's a good point. We just actually had a question tweeted in from Chris for you that says, do you think it will take the next head coach to turn around this trend of the top Virginia talent leaving the state? It's not an unfair question.
It's not an unfair question. It's not an unfair question at all. And I think.
Let me rephrase that because at one time, you know, Frank Beamer did totally dominate the in-state recruiting sphere,
yeah.
and Virginia Tech was the hot place to be for all the players in-state. Now,
right.
You know, it's not as if Frank Beamer hasn't landed big in-state talent because
right.
he has,
right.
But you know,
it's just a different time. In recruiting, and there's a lot more competition in the state of Virginia these days. And Virginia Tech has kind of preached the same message to recruits year after year. And you see all these major recruiting schools these days. They have dynamic head coaches who are probably maybe better communicators with young people than Frank might be these days. And I don't mean that in a bad way because I love Frank. Frank's my all-time favorite football coach. But to answer your question, I don't think it will ever be like it was again. Like even with a Butch Jones type, I'm not sure it'd be exactly like it once was, where Virginia Tech signing 7 or 8 guys out of the top 10. But I definitely don't think it's going to get back to that under Frank. I mean, the trend in recruiting is younger guys, younger coaches, or in general. Now, obviously, Nick Saban is, you know, 62 or 63, but he doesn't act it. And he's coaching at Alabama, which is a big plus.
Well, that's a good point because that was actually the next thing I was going to say is that people look and talk about Frank Beamer right now sometimes as if, you know, the guy is ancient. But,
right.
You know, but, I mean, you know, when Bowden and Paterno left their posts at Florida State and Penn State, respectively, they were 80 and 85 years old. Frank is 67.
But you're right, but here's the difference. Frank
okay.
coaches at Virginia Tech.
Right.
66,000-seat stadium, not a huge fan base.
You know, now that I would take issue with.
Well, not big enough to fill a 90 or 100,000 seat stadium like Penn State and Florida State.
Well, I think that also is there's a geographic spin to that as well. But I will.
Yes.
Say, but Nate.
Well, Happy Valley.
Well, right. But I'm saying, but you know, Nate Silver's study a couple of years ago determined that Virginia Tech had the 13th largest fan base in the country. So you know, I'm not saying you're wrong. I think that there's not quite the discrepancy that some people would make that out to be.
That's fair. Okay, that's fair. Okay, but when you get a let me rephrase that. We don't have the prestige.
Oh yeah, there you go.
No national championship.
Yep.
ESPN,
you don't have that to fall back on, right?
Right, exactly. You know, ESPN doesn't make it a point to cover us every year, no matter what. Mm-hmm. You know, Florida State could be 0-12, and they would still, every week, it'd be the Florida State show as part of ESPN College Game Day. That's
okay.
Just the way it is.
Right.
So I think it's easier to recruit to those schools. Those schools will sell themselves for the most part. Now, the trouble with Penn State right now is they've got a guy who can really, really, really recruit.
Oh,
and they have that prestige.
He's a problem, and he's young.
Yeah. You know, and the issue right now with Virginia Tech is you know, since they're not having a lot of in-state success, they started going to the Northeast more, which I thought was a great strategy, and it really worked out for them last year. They got some really good players, I think, from out of state, particularly in the Northeast. But now you're going to be fighting Franklin and Penn State for those guys from Pennsylvania and New Jersey.
Yeah.
So and you know, Tennessee's becoming more of a problem. You know, Tennessee basically has their own version of James Franklin out there, you know?
Yeah, you're right.
So it's just more challenges within the region. Right?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Let's take a break. We'll come back and wrap up the hour with Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com. If you have more questions, send them my way. Kyle.Bailey@Cumulus.com, Twitter.com/TheClubhouseKB, and you can give us a call, 639-4900, the Phillips Real Estate Hotline. Y'all keep it locked to Super Sports 101.7.
Yeah, you can find us where the party's at. This is how we roll.